Take your Bibles and turn with me for a few moments this morning to John. John chapter 14, starting with verse 12, reading through verse 14. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself as he is preparing his disciples for his soon coming crucifixion, resurrection, and return back to heaven. And he says to them in John 14, 12, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will even do greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14 says, "You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Now look at verse 12, for this is the challenge of the morning. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." You know, friends, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are directly linked to the most incredible, exciting life that has ever walked planet Earth. Jesus' birth was simply amazing. Breaking all the laws of natural genetics, Jesus, the Bible tells us, was born of the Virgin. His life was power-packed. He healed the sick with his touch. The dead were raised back to life at his command. The winds and the waves, they obeyed his voice. With a few loaves and fishes, he miraculously fed the multitudes. By his authority, he cast out demonic spirits. At the age of 33, Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary. His death was honored by all of nature. In that moment, the Bible tells us, the earth shook and the sun refused to shine. But the grave could not hold him. Yes, nor could gravity restrain him. And he ascended back to the Father just as he had promised, as the victorious, uncontested King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now listen once again, knowing who is telling us these words, listen what he says. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me," how many believe in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? That's right, we believe. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, the things you've seen me model. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Friends, it's quite evident from Scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ has not called us to a life of mediocrity. He expects us, according to the Word, to perform the works that he modeled, and then even greater works than these. Jesus wants us to believe, and I believe he wants to attempt great and mighty things through his name in this upcoming year of 2016. I want you to consider with me, first of all, the power of faith in action. Friends, I want you to understand this morning, faith is an incredible thing. And when it is linked to this one that is the all-sufficient one, the one that is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one that was crucified, dead, risen, is seated at the right hand of God the Father, when you place your faith in him, incredible things can and should take place. So there's a power of faith in action. Now, the first question that one must ask after hearing Jesus say, "You will do the very things you've seen me do and even greater things than these," the first thing we must ask ourselves this morning is just, on what basis does Jesus expect us as mere human beings to accomplish these greater things? Especially when most of us consider ourselves candidates for a miracle. We need miracles rather than considering ourselves conduits of God's miracle-working power. But listen once again to what Jesus said. "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to my Father." Let's begin for a few moments by examining this verse here, kind of phrase by phrase in a forensic kind of way. First of all, I want you to notice there, Jesus starts out with two words, very truly. Now, very truly, this phrase comes from the same Greek word that is translated in our English Bibles this morning as the word amen. You know, we say amen at the conclusion of a prayer. Things we agree with in life, we'll often say amen to these things. And so the word that is used here, that is translated very truly, is the same word from which we get amen. The word amen means so be it, or it is trustworthy. Therefore, this phrase is one that is a declaration of power. And it is one of saying, these things I agree upon, these things ought to take place. Amen. Now, there's a power here of repetition that you'll find in this verse, verse 12. You'll find it starts out with very truly. This very truly can be verily, verily in some translations, or truly, truly in other translations, or as we've seen it on the screen this morning, very truly. This repetition in Scripture, whenever you find Jesus saying truly, truly, or very truly, or any of these combinations, it is a repetition proving there is a fact that I want you to receive. And there is a fact here that Jesus wants us to grab a hold of. He says, starting out then, very truly, notice the next word there, I. Now Jesus is going to say something, and he's wanting them to understand these are his very words. I, Jesus himself. Friends, when you read this portion of Scripture, which is quite fantastic and quite unbelievable to the natural mind that we could do what Jesus did and even greater works than these, Jesus said, I am telling you these words myself. This is not an apostolic interpretation of Jesus' words. These are the exact words of Jesus himself. So very truly, I, next two words there, tell you. The pronoun you is in the universal form here, indicating that everyone's included. This is for every single child of God. This is for everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very truly, I tell you, that includes everyone, it's universal. And then he goes on to say, whoever believes in me. So very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me, again, this word you or whosoever is universal, adding strength to the fact that everyone is included. You know, many times we read these portions of Scripture, we'll say, well, you know, that's good for the pastor, that's good for the teacher, that's good for the spiritually mature, that's good for the faith movement, that's good for the faith preacher, but Jesus is saying this is for everyone. He is saying that you need to get a hold of this. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me. Notice that word there, believe. The word believe is simply here, one that places trust in another. And this verb here, believe, can be read this way. Not only believe, but continues to believe. Because you'll find the verb here in the original language being what is called the continuous form. It is not a one-time deal to believe. It is continuing to believe. And friends, there are times in life when you need to just keep on believing, no matter what the circumstances look like. And you'll find that Jesus is saying here, I'm telling you, you can count on this. These are my very words. He says, whoever believes on me has placed their trust in me, continues to trust in me. And the word there is emphatic, the word me. It is emphatic. You must place your trust in me and in me alone. Now, the basis of greater things then for 2016 is found here in placing our faith and our trust, our belief in Jesus Christ alone. Not in ourselves, not in our natural talents, not in our giftings, not in our denomination, but in Christ alone. So he starts out by saying, there is going to be a promise here, and this promise is quite incredible. And this promise is going to be that there's going to be greater things if you will believe in me. Now, I want you to notice here, secondly, the promise here that is given of these greater things. Look at the last, or the middle part of verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. Whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Now, friends, when you read that, that's quite incredible. That is beyond incredible. I find that incredibly exciting. You see, when you begin to think that Jesus said, you will do what I have done, think of some of the things that Jesus did. He healed the sick. He opened the blinded eye. He cleansed the lepers. He raised the dead back to life. He fed the multitudes with a few loaves and fish. He walked on the water. He calmed the storms. He cast out demonic spirits. Matter of fact, as you read through the Gospels, you'll find there are 37 major miracles recorded in the Gospels. However, beyond that, the Apostle John tells us that those 37 were just a smidget of those that Jesus really did. Look at what John says in John 21 and verse 25. He says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. So John says, these 37 that you read about in the Gospels, and you see these mighty works of the Lord Jesus Christ, these are just a smidgen, these are just a sample of the many things he did while here on this earth as the Son of Man, and the working power of God through him. And so, church, I would say to you this morning that Jesus fully expects us to follow then in his footsteps, reaching the lost, healing the sick, performing miracles as we walk through life's journey. In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20, listen to what Jesus said. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Look at verse 17. And these signs, another translation, these miracles. Another translation, these mighty works. And these signs will accompany those who simply do what? Say it. Believe. And then, just continue on with me for a moment here, because I want you to catch a hold of this. This is not for a select few. This is for every believer. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So they merely believed what Jesus had to say. Now in this account, he is saying that we'll lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Matter of fact, the original language here says, you will lay hands on the sick and the sick will begin to mend. You know, many times we lay hands on the sick and we pray the prayer of faith and we'll walk away and we expect that there's not an immediate answer. If we do not see an exact and immediate healing, we say, well, nothing took place. Friends, we have to continue to believe that when hands are laid upon and we believe in God, that it is the power of God flowing through us. We are merely the hand, the conduit that he chooses to use for the greater things he wants to do in the world today. And when we believe that and continue to believe, it's not a one-time deal. But as we continue on believing, yes, we will see those greater things. So we are not only to do what Christ has done, his expectation is then that we will do even greater works because he goes to the Father. Now, that word greater, that kind of throws us all into, you know, a lot of questions, I realize. Just what is meant? How could we ever do something greater than what Jesus did while he lived on this earth? Now, friends, it's not greater in the sense that we will do greater healings or greater, you know, works than Jesus did. That is not what is meant here. What is meant here is greater, meaning mega, or megas is the Greek word that is used there, which means larger or more, greater in quantity and in scope. You see, Jesus, when he lived here on this planet as the Son of Man, he was limited to time and space. When he was in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem. And when he left Jerusalem and when he would go to the Galilee region, whether it was Nazareth or Capernaum or any other site, when he left one site, he was gone. But here's what he is saying. He is saying that you will do greater works because my power, the work of God in and through me, in you, and through you to the world that's round about is going to be multiplied every time someone comes to Christ and every time someone believes that God is still the God that still does the miracles and that he is still the powerful, mighty God. And wherever that is put into practice, that is going to be the same power. So Jesus, one person, one place, at one time, he said, the time is coming. Not only will the 12, not only will the 70, not only will those that are saved on the day of Pentecost, but the numbers will grow exponentially all throughout history. And every time someone comes to Christ, and every time they yield themselves to him, and every time they believe that there is nothing impossible with God, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is going to dwell inside of you, and is going to be the power that is going to change the culture, our cities, our nation, our world, gonna raise the dead, gonna open the blinded eyes, will do the miraculous because God is still doing the miraculous. Hallelujah. Jesus ministered then for 3 short years while physically here on this earth. And we read through the gospels of his miracles and we stand in awe of the marvelous works that he did. Yet during his short earthly ministry, even though it was just a short period of time, Jesus literally shook and reshaped the world like none other that has ever walked this planet. Now with this very same ministry in the hands of the church for nearly 2,000 years, this same ministry, the same. He said, because I go to my Father, you will do what I have done and even greater works than these. They'll be multiplied out many times over. We have had this same miraculous challenge and power of Jesus Christ in the church for nearly 2,000 years. And I ask you this morning, have we lived up to the expectations of Jesus? He said, you will do what I have done, and because I go to my Father, you will do even greater things than these. Think of what Jesus accomplished in 3 years of active ministry. And the church for 2,000 years has had this same challenge, has had available the same power. And Jesus, I think today, would say to us, it's time to get on the stick. It's time to begin to believe and be the church and be the conduit to my blessing to the world that surrounds. What is the source then of these greater things? Look at it there in verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Notice that phrase there, it defines, because I am going to the Father. One more time, because these things are going to be possible, because I am going to the Father. When you read those words, it's like, because that I'm going to the Father, for that I am going to the Father. It may be translated, now that I am going to the Father, or in that I go to the Father. You see, the Greek phrase here has what is called cause and effect built into it. He says, because, here's the cause, because I'm going to the Father, and the effect is going to be, you are going to do even greater works. Look at verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for, come on, church, what does he say? Anything. Now, is this apostolic interpretation? No. These are the very words of whom? Jesus himself. He said, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Friends, here's what Jesus has given to us. He has given to us a blank check. And this blank check, we get to fill in the amount. We get to choose, and we will determine by our faith the amount that is going to be filled in. The question that we must ask ourselves on a daily basis, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And friends, we must come back with the biblical answer, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is no cancer bigger than our God. There is no heart disease that he cannot heal. There is no mental illness that he cannot restore. There is no marriage that cannot be once again put back together again with the grace and the power and the help of God. There is nothing impossible for God. Amen. And that being the foundation of our lives, he said, you may ask anything in my name. Notice here, if you'll ask in my name, you see, ask in my name, here's what he is saying. You can ask in my name, and the name there means several things. Number one, authority. It also means character. You can ask in my fame. You can ask in my reputation. Now, think of that for a moment. He said, you can ask in my name. And let's put that now. You can ask in my character. You can ask in my fame. You can ask in my reputation. Let me tell you, friends, Jesus is well known in hell. And whenever his name is uttered, they shudder. And the devil knows and all the demons of hell know that Jesus Christ is superior to their power, that Jesus is the one that casts them out, that Jesus determines where and how they must operate, that Jesus is fully and completely in charge. He said, now, when you go out, he said, I want you to go in my name. You go in my authority, you go in my character, you go in my fame. I'm well known amongst all the demons of hell. You go in my reputation, and you will see the miraculous power of God released. He said, if you'll do this, he said, then I will do it. It is not us. He said, I will do these works through you, that the Father may be glorified, that the Father may be honored, that the Father may be magnified. Friends, the proper end for every single miracle culminates when all the glory returns back to God. You see, friends, all the works of God are for our good, but ultimately for his glory. And it is time that we begin to believe for greater things in this year of 2016. Listen to what someone wrote. Satan, listen up, listen now, listen long and listen well. We're the church of the living God. We are bought with blood, charged with power, married to Jesus, indwelt with his spirit, immune from destruction, and destined for victory. We will not fear your foolish fables. Run from your roaring, fold under fire, be vulnerable to your behemoths, or scattered by your schemes. Yes, we will not be derailed by your deception, be lulled by your lies, buckle under your barking, acquiesce under your attack, or be scared by your subtlety. We are part of the company of the committed, the crowd of the covenant, the congregation of the courageous, and the crew of the commissioned. We are a fellowship of the faithful, the battalion of believers, the regiment of the redeemed, the division of the devoted, the army of the approved, and the team of the triumphant, the lot of the Lord, the platoon of the powerful, and the visage of the victorious. We are not here to dread war, plan war, study war, evaluate war, discuss war. We have come to win the war. Yes, Satan, the clock is running out for you. We await our rapture, your rupture, our consummation, your condemnation, our reign and your ruin, our victory but your vagrancy, our success and your sorrow. You can summon all your hosts, but you lose the battle. For he that is in us is greater than he that is within the world. We are the church of the living God, blood washed, spirit filled, battle scarred, unrelenting and indestructible. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Friends, we close it by saying amen and amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand together all over this.